maybe an aspect of marketing, what you do, or a service that you offer, or a particular event that you want to develop, a particular concept that you would like to develop. It's going to be very much early stages of this, because for many of you, you haven't got a business, or you haven't got a project, and we've got a really short period of time. And that's exactly what we want. We want you to hit the ground running. Okay? So we know this is a short period of time, and we know that it's quite challenging for you to get something off the ground and test it out and be actively involved in developing it. And that's what that's the challenge we're setting you. That's what we want you to do. Okay? So what we don't want is you to come back to us and say you didn't give us enough time. We know there's not enough time. Okay? So you've got to try and do your best in the short period of time that you've got. And I must admit, I was really pleasantly surprised last year with what some students were able to pull off in a relatively short period of time. So you're going to be thinking about a project, and you're actually going to come up with that project by the end of today. Okay? Not end of today, end of the class. That's even less time. And the kinds of activities you'll be involved in once you've decided on the project or the theme that you want to work on is that you might be market testing the idea. You might be looking for the need from a customer audience point of view, which is similar to market testing. Developing some of the networks that you need to develop your project or your business idea, and really looking at its potential. Okay? So we're not looking for projects that are a full business starter. Okay? We're looking at earlier stages than that. And this is because it very much reflects the way that individuals in the creative and media sectors work. They have an idea, they try it out, it doesn't quite work maybe, leads to another idea, which leads to another idea. And that's kind of how the process works. Perhaps before you get to your big idea, or maybe you never get there. Maybe it's essential to moving on from, you know, testing various small ideas before you then get a job somewhere or do something different. So it really reflects the way the media and the creative industries work. You're partly learning through failure as well. So failure is actually sort of okay, if you like, as long as you learn from it. And the module and the assessment is very much set up in two parts so that effectively it's perfectly okay for it to all go wrong and for you to fail with your first idea and for you to then learn from that and re-look at that by the end. That might not quite make sense to you at the end, right now, but I'll go into it at some point, either today, later today, or individually if I need to. So just to reiterate what I said at the beginning, you've got to go back to what you're about and think about what do I want to explore and what's useful for me. Okay. What do you need to explore? Okay, this is not what we're about. I'm not going to be doing what I'm doing right now that much. It's not about a lecture style class. Where you're sitting and thinking. If you were hoping this would be a nice Tuesday morning kind of snooze, it won't be. You'll be doing stuff in class. We're not going to be poring over figures and writing business plans. It's often an assumption that when people do entrepreneurship, oh, it's going to be about business plan writing. It's not. Writing a business plan is one aspect of running a business that you need if you want to do some fundraising. When you're much more established, perhaps, and ready to really kick off and start a business. It's an art in itself, and when you write a business plan and learn how to write a business plan, that's all you're doing. You're learning how to write a business plan. It's not entrepreneurial. It's just learning how to write a business plan. And what we're interested in is you developing those behaviors that are entrepreneurial. Okay? You're much more likely, this is a photograph from a couple of years ago, to be talking to each other, thinking hopefully creatively, developing ideas, sharing techniques and ideas and testing them out on each other and getting that kind of peer support. We'll also have a session with some guest speakers, and I thought I'd show you a session from last year. Come on in. So this is one of our guest speakers last year.
Yeah, I was born in Birmingham, and still credit a lot of my friends who come from Birmingham and sort of giving me a creative sort of drive, particularly around the web and things like that. I went to university, studied politics and economics, not really related, but sort of had a passion for the internet and what you can do with it, in a political and economic sense. I wanted to start a company, had a crack at that at university, didn't know so well, just kept writing and trying to meet people, had lots of conversations with anyone I could really about the web, met Duncan, who's the MD of the company I now work for. The team that wanted to build websites within the company was sort of very new. I was the first person employed to start doing that for the company, and then we sort of grew from there, releasing sort of new projects, incubating ideas basically for the company.
So this is what we did last year when we got three guest speakers in for a session. And they talked to the class, but then the class was also invited to get involved in really getting to know the guest speakers. So rather than them just being my contact and they come in and do their thing and then they go again, the class was asked if they wanted to record interviews with them, record, capture the session in itself. There was quite a lot of contact made with the three speakers before via Twitter. So there was much more involvement from the students. In this case, you had Dan Bauer, who was an example of somebody who's developed an entrepreneurial approach to his work, but he is an employee, so he works for an organization. What was quite important for me as well is that all the three speakers were relatively young, not necessarily young in terms of their age, but young in terms of the amount of years that they've been working, which is what's really relevant. So they were in some ways only a few steps ahead from many of you. And being able to relate to them in that way seemed important for the majority of the students. So we're looking at people who are maybe 3, 5 or up to about 8 years ahead in terms of their entrepreneurial careers, if you like. Okay. So I'm trying not to bring in people who are sort of done it all and can come in and impress you with their CVs and their portfolio of activities, but actually it's really difficult for you to work out what was the journey between kind of where you're at now and where they're at with their impressive presentations. So I try to bring in people who are, you know, who you can relate to much more easily. Okay? If you've got some ideas, we're still looking at booking them, so you could come to me if you think that somebody would be really good for that session. Okay? Make sure you tell them that we can't pay them. we can a bit. This is something else that you might be doing. We have, this is more aimed at my media and creative enterprise students, but is for anybody to join in. So you might be looking at a blog that's within the MA that you're on, or many of you will be asked to do your own blogs anyway. I think that's nearly the case for all the students. Or you can contribute to this one, which as I said is for the MA Media and Creative Enterprise. So you can have a look at that and have a look at what students over the years have done, because this was started a number of years ago. All the content in this blog is generated by students. I make comments, but I never actually do a blog post for it. So it's very much for students and for them to share maybe information about an event they go to, or something interesting that they've come across, that they've read, some new ideas that they think others might benefit from, or maybe it's a question that they want to ask, or perhaps it's a problem they're facing, and actually they'd like, you know, their peers to contribute to helping them solve that problem or explore that problem a little bit further. All of these things really are about getting you to very much be out there in terms of articulating your ideas. Again, the idea is that we're emulating what happens in the real world of the creative and media industries. Many individuals, especially those that are freelance or starting out in their careers, find that they have to have an online profile. It's like you don't exist if you're not online. For some of you, that would be very natural and obvious. For others, perhaps less so. And not only do they have to have an online profile in the sense of just existing out there, so being, I don't know, on LinkedIn and so on, you also have to start to articulate your ideas around the projects you want to set up and perhaps your opinions about the way in which your industry is going in. So we find that things, for example, like blogging, contributing to a blog, even if you're just making comments, being prepared and ready to do that is part of developing the professional and, I would say, entrepreneurial behaviours that very much fit with the media and creative sector. Okay? So you need to start to be prepared to develop opinions and ideas, to report back on something perhaps that you heard in the news or perhaps that you heard at an event. You need to, in a way, very much think of yourself as professionals in that sense. And I'm sure many of you already do so, and many of you have several years' experience working in the media already. Okay? You might come across Purple Cab in a few weeks' time. Anybody know Purple Cab? Okay, so there's quite a lot of content there already, perhaps, for you to look at. I thought I would also show you a couple of presentations from last year. So exactly this time last year, students just like you just come in for their first session. At the end of it, I was even more mean with them than I'm going to be with you. I asked them to record each other when they had to do an elevator pitch. Okay? So this is to try and make you a little bit nervous. Might not work. I might be really cool about this. This is one, they're both online journalism students. And so this was literally after a couple of hours of saying, you've got to come up with a project. And they just recorded themselves just outside here.
Hi. There are more than 60,000 students in Berlin, spread over at least 9 separate institutions. But while this diverse community is the second largest in the UK, there's no single publication representing its members and their views. I'm proposing a new website that will be run by Berlin students for Berlin students, filling this void. It will offer news, events, and information to help make students' lives easier, encouraging people to contribute through its unique blend of blogs and social networking. We'll aim to make sure everyone is aware of all the brilliant things Berlin students are doing. For example, are you aware that there's a college where you can get your hair and makeup done for free? But what about the fact that one university has estimated that it contributes more than £600 million to the local economy? With my 7 years of experience as a journalist, working in local news and entertainment, I will create a product that appeals directly to students. It aims to answer all their burning questions on what to do, how to survive, and where to go out to a course where you get your nails done for free.
On its head.
All right, so that's the concept.
The level of professionalism. As you can see, these were just done with little flip cameras, and we have quite a few of those in the equipment in the area where all the resources are. I don't know if you've identified that yet. On the second floor, the floor just below, this end of the corridor. If you go there, that's where all the photography equipment is, where all the TV cameras are. So we have several flip cameras that I got specifically for MA students. So you can go in there and say, I'm an MA student, I want a flip camera. There aren't enough for all of you if you want them all at the same time, but they are there. There's no reason why you wouldn't want to borrow it as part of your test marketing, as part of capturing perhaps audiences' wants and needs. So, feel free to go ahead and use them if you don't have that kind of equipment already, and some of you probably will. Let's have a look at Caroline's.
Oh, there we go.
We've all heard the phrase that content is king, and that is absolutely proven in web traffic. 75% of all traffic on the internet goes to content-driven websites. Great news for them, lots of good news for transactional websites like for news and sell tickets for gigs, which pretty much that's all they'll do. How about taking content to transactional websites? There's venues out there which have nothing on their site apart from the ability to buy tickets. How about putting interviews with the bands that are traveling through the venue, pictures, backstage news on the website? There's a reason to go to the website. You're going to see the Killers tonight. Very excited about the show. Sitting at work, bored out of your mind, get an email from the venue saying, to interview the band online right now. Click through to it, see all the stats, see what's going on, see what's going on backstage, and you get to actually see the band ready to be ahead of the show tonight. Right hand side of the page, all the tickets for sale for other shows. You think, who am I going to see that show? Click on it. 7 times a day, you may go and visit that site on the day of the gig. 7 times more likely to buy a ticket.
Brilliant.
Okay, so they hardly had time to practice. They were really just at the end of this session coming up with the ideas they wanted to work on. As it turned out, Andrew worked on a completely different idea, but Caroline did stick to the idea and did a really good project for this module. So we won't hold you to it. Nobody's suggesting that what you come up with at the end of today or at the end of this session is what you must do for the rest of the module. But it's your first attempt today to come up with a potential project. It will get you thinking, and after you've done it, you'll be able to reflect on that and decide whether, yes, you're going to go for it, or you actually need to rethink because you'd like to explore something else. And this is where you need the time, as I said, to think about what's useful for me, what do I want to get out of this. And in many cases, the projects are very real for students. So they're things that they've been either wanting to do anyway and just haven't had the chance because either they've been students before or they've been working and they just haven't had the opportunity to spend a little bit of time exploring a particular idea that they'd like to exploit. Or they keep talking to their friends about a gap or an opportunity but don't actually sit down and do it. So effectively, this is your chance to do that. This is your chance to work on something you've perhaps been itching to do and get a little bit of peer support and a bit of feedback from us with regards to that idea. So do pick something that you feel quite strongly about and quite passionate about. So those were not, I didn't pick them because they were some kind of fantastic example, but they're, you know, you can hear them relatively well. They give you a kind of indication of where people were at, the equivalent to you this time last year. Obviously, those were web-based projects, and your projects don't have to be. So, just to be a little bit more formal then about the module, if you have a look at the handbooks, everybody got one? Yeah? So those are on Moodle, and you should have all the details that you need in that. What I've tried to do is give you, yeah, sure. Okay, everybody got one. What I've tried to do is give you not too much, but not too little information. So you can read it in your own time. You get the basic kind of philosophy and module content. And the learning outcomes there are written slightly more formally, but they're effectively some of the things that I've been saying already this morning. So this is what we expect you to learn by the end of the module. So take the time to have a look at those and have a think about them, especially in relation to your assignments, because to some extent, the assessment criteria are based on the learning outcomes. So this is what we're looking for from you. Okay, this is how we'll judge your work. This is how we will mark you. So the learning outcomes and assessment criteria are very, very important in terms of the mark that you want for your assignment. In there, you'll see that you've got different deadlines for assignments. And I'll go into the assignments in more detail in a moment. But you've essentially got two assignments. If you look on the, is it the third page? Okay, you've got assignment one and assignment two. The first assignment is due towards the end of November, and then the second one in January. The first assignment is split into two parts. The first part is a presentation, which you will do in class in groups, okay? And you'll do that presentation in groups of about 8 to 10 students working together, and you'll record each other's presentations, possibly just using an ordinary little flip camera, which I mentioned earlier. Just something very basic and simple. You'll record each other doing your presentations, You'll upload those to something like Vimeo, and then a couple of days later you'll have to hand in a report which supports the presentation. So we will mark both a video presentation and a report. The process is such that as you're working together in a group and recording each other, you will also give each other peer feedback on your presentations and your ideas. And the peer feedback will then be used. You'll have a few more days before the deadline for the report. So you can use that in your report, which you'll hand in at the end of the week. Presentations will take place on a Tuesday, and the report will be due in on the Friday. Okay? Does that make sense? So we'll put you in groups. You'll record your presentations, give each other feedback. We'll upload all of those. We'll probably do it there and then as part of the process of the recording, the assessment on that day. You'll upload all of those, hand in a report a few days later, which will be influenced to some extent by some of the peer feedback that you get. So you might have written a draft report already, and then you'll add a little bit more to it perhaps on the basis of the feedback that you get. You might feel that you get really rubbish feedback and you don't want to include anything in terms of feedback. But you might find it helps you re-look at your project. Again, this is one of those situations where you're allowed to reflect on potentially where you've gone wrong, where you've sort of failed, if you like. So in your report, you could refer to the fact that actually you want to rethink an aspect of the project. So what you presented, what we see on video, is going to be slightly different perhaps from the idea that you're writing in your report, because you'll be explaining to us how you're already changing how you want to develop the project or the business idea or the event. Okay, so that you're learning all the time, and it's kind of the idea you're working on is growing and changing rather than being a fixed thing. So that's the first assignment, which will be of most concern to you at the moment. And as I say, it's due at the end of November, so Friday the 26th of November. You'll get a more detailed assessment group. I think I might put it on Moodle already, that will just give you a bit more information than what you've got in this. But this is essentially it. It's at the end of your handout. The second assessment is then very much a much bigger reworking of the project, building on exactly what I've just said, really, of learning through failure and rejigging your idea. So you might do an activity that allows you to test out your project idea or your business idea, and you might evaluate that and then, you know, respond to the evaluation. So the project will grow in some way or will change in some way. This is a bit abstract at the moment, but it will make a lot more sense once you've thought of the project you want to work on and you actually start exploring it, okay? It's important at this stage for me to go through all of this, but don't worry if you don't get it all until you're actually working on your individual project. It will make more sense when you do. We'll want you to look at other case studies so that you can compare what you've done with perhaps what your peers are doing. So case studies that are specific to your industry or to the nature of the business or the project that you're looking at, and look at what you've done in relation to that. Any questions so far? So we've got those deadlines, and all your work must always be handed in to the school office, which is on the fourth floor. Okay?
Sorry, mate.
Does it have to be a new project idea, or can it be an existing one? Does it have to be a brand new project idea, or can it be an existing one?
It can be an existing one, but you shouldn't do... I'm trying to pass that back. It can be an existing one, but it should be a development of an existing one. Okay. So what we're not looking for is you reporting on something that you did. It's got to be something that you're working on now, but you could have started part of it, yeah. I mean, for example, if you are already out there as a freelance journalist or photographer or media worker in some way, you'll be working on things all the time, so they may well be a development of the work that you do.
Yeah.
your group, some of you will have worked this out already, and I think, I have put it on Moodle. We've got two groups, a Tuesday and a Thursday group, and because of clashes with, I'm not that happy about it, but because of clashes with the timetable, all of the students who are on the MA Events and Exhibition and my students on Media and Creative Enterprise will be in this slot on a Tuesday 10 till 12, and all the other students will be 10 till 12 on a Thursday, okay? I don't want people moving about from one to the other, because there'll be group activities and action learning sets where you'll be in groups. So if you're Tuesday, you're a Tuesday. If you're a Thursday, you're a Thursday. If for some reason you can't make one of the classes and you feel actually you could make the other and you'd like to benefit from coming in, you can have a word with me individually and ask me and we'll see, we'll talk about it. But the rule really is that if you're Tuesday, you're Tuesday. If you're Thursday, you're Thursday.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Apparently, we discussed.
Okay. Well, let me speak to the freelance photographers or to Julian afterwards, and we can try and work it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Action learning sets. Because we're very keen on peer work and we want to make the most of the diverse group of people that we have here, it's important for us to have groups that can work together to help each other work on individual projects, okay? So you've all got the individual work that you want to do, that you're developing for your assignment, but you will talk about that with others in your action learning group. And get the benefit of their views, their intelligence, if you like, their knowledge, the benefit of them being kind of critical friends. So teasing out from you the issues that might be important, the things that you might not have thought about. When action learning sets work well, they work really well and students love them. But there is a responsibility at your end to make sure that they work well. I've set out a kind of criteria to help with the process. So there's some important issues to think about to ensure that the action learning set works well. First of all, that the time is shared out properly. We all know some people are shy and some people love to talk all the time. It's important that everybody gets the chance, okay? So being shy is not helpful. Talking all the time is not helpful, okay? So you need to all feel that you all contribute in the same way. So share out the time equally. Take it in turn to explain what your problem is and contribute, support that person, give them some advice, some ideas, some thoughts. When it's your turn, let's say, everybody should be devoted to your issue. I don't know if you've come across that, but you know, somebody's talking about their problem and then someone else responds by saying, oh, I've got the same problem, and then starts going on about my problem. That happens. We need to focus on the person whose turn it is. We need to be supportive but definitely challenging as well. There's no point in just going around saying, that's a lovely idea. You know, we need to be challenging. You need to get that from each other. And you should all conclude your slot, which might be just 10 minutes, with some kind of an action plan, and you can get one of the others in the group to help you do that. Because you're talking and thinking about the responses, sometimes it's difficult for you to actually make notes about it. So you can get one of the others in the group to make some notes for you and conclude by saying, okay, the things I'm going to do next are X, Y, and Z. When you meet again as a group, then there's a sense of, well, you had a list of actions, what did you do? Okay? Now, you might have had 5 actions and done just 3 of them, and that's fine. You know, you're not there to tell each other off or something. But it's useful to have a set of action points so you're clear as to how you need to move on, the kinds of things that you need to think about and do. Okay? Any questions about that? So obviously I'll be putting you into groups and I'll do that next week for the action learning sets. Once we're more fixed as to who's here and obviously whether you're in group A or B. you should aim for a minimum of 3 action learning set meetings that are kind of outside of classroom time. But I may use them within the classroom time as well. So, you know, it's not rocket science. You've got to sort out the logistics of that, share contact details and so on. You negotiate the times within your group. You can do it here. You can do it in a cafe in town, in the library, you know, wherever you want. And the group sort of consists of about 4 to 5 members. Okay? Any thoughts or questions so far? Any comments?
Are you sort of randomly assigning us within groups, or do we sort of buddy up?
I will randomly assign you
okay.
in a group. What's an elevator pitch? Do you know what it is?
An overview of what you want to do.
Sorry?
An overview of what you want to do in a machine.
Might be.
That can be delivered in the time you're in an elevator?
That's the principle, yeah. That's the idea. Okay? It's a pitch, a brief overview of what your project, event, idea is. And it's called an elevator pitch. It's a kind of American thing. That's because it lasts about the time it might take to be, you know, you jump into a lift and by chance you bump into a venture capitalist and you've got the time it takes from you to get from the ground floor to the 12th floor or whatever to pitch to that person. Okay, that's the idea that it's based on. Obviously, what's useful about it is that it's done within a very short period of time. So for us, it's an excellent exercise in you articulating what you want to do in a very short period of time, getting the right message out really quickly and succinctly, which is not an easy task. Okay? It's useful because it's useful for your assignment. So that's the short term, right? But it's actually useful for you to practice this because there may be many circumstances, formal and informal, in which you need to do something similar to an elevator pitch or a pitch of some kind. So in networking circumstances where you might meet somebody who could help support your project or fund it or could come into a partnership with you, and you need to have ready a way of articulating the idea, the core, the key issues for the idea, or the core benefits of being involved, or the key elements of what you're about, if it's very much pitching yourself, then you could do that depending on the kind of thing you want to work on. So it's just really a tool that's kind of just neat, I suppose, for us to think about presentation skills and in a short period of time. That's another way of looking at it, but it's about the time it takes to pour a pint of Guinness. So the time can be anything between 1 and 2 minutes. I'm going to ask you to do those pitches in some in groups in a moment. But I just want to give you a few guidelines, a few thoughts before you do so. First of all, clearly, it's important for you to communicate well and to think about the audience. And you might want to think of the ideal audience for yourself. So you might say, well, actually, it's the chairman of a particular company, or it is a venture capitalist, or it's a funding agency, a public funding agency. Or perhaps it's a much smaller group, perhaps it's much more of an interview for a job type situation. But who are you talking to? Who's your audience? As I said, you've got a really short period of time, so what's the key message? The format might be worth thinking about. In some cases, some people can get away with doing a song and a dance. I can't. I just make a fool of myself. But some of you might feel that you can do something as part of your presentation, which is appropriate to the presentation. Maybe it's having visuals there if you're a photographer, or maybe it's using your iPhone to demonstrate the video work that you do. I don't know. But you might want to think about the format. Maybe it is more than just speaking. Okay. A song and dance might not be the right thing, but you never know. And you need to think about your skills and abilities. So what are you comfortable doing? What can you do easily? What can you improve on in terms of your skills as well? And all of that effectively defines your approach and your style. And this is something you can work on. So it's not a case that you'll get it right the first time, and you can try it out, different styles if you like, try out different ways of articulating your idea of presenting yourself. Clearly, if the audience is important, there may be different audiences, so you might have a slightly different pitch for different circumstances. And just a few final tips. You can't do it all, especially not in a minute. Even if you have 10 minutes or 20 minutes, you can't get the full story in all the way. So focus on a few key messages. Always start by introducing yourself. And I don't know how many times I've said this and still find people don't. So who are you, first of all? It sounds ridiculous, but people forget to do that again and again and again. So start by introducing yourself. It isn't the time to be modest. You do need to show off a little bit here. Again, some of you will be more or less comfortable with this, but it's important that you take on board that you need to be a bit memorable. The song and dance scenario might not be for you. You need to find a way of being memorable and of standing out from the crowd. In time, not obviously you won't have the chance today necessarily, but do try and practice getting the timing right. It's quite difficult, actually. Have a go at doing that and timing yourself to either doing a 1 minute pitch or a 5 minute pitch and see what the difference is and see how you need to structure the idea. And try not to be too nervous, which for some of you will be easy and for others will be more difficult. Okay? So this is how we're going to do it. We're going to have a 1 minute on my idea. So what's my idea? That's what you're going to introduce, yourself and your idea. I'd like you, as a one-off, I'd like you to get yourselves into groups of about five people, and you'll present your idea to those five people. Okay? Maybe we should make it six. No. Yeah, let's make it six people. So you can get yourself into whatever group you want. Six people, move around and move the chairs if you want to give yourself a bit more room and start working on them. Can I suggest two things? First of all, that once you've moved into a group, can you spend a little bit of time perhaps by yourself? Because you might want to make some notes, just think through what you want to say. Then you might want to just chat to someone else about that and just kind of get it right, maybe run it by them first. And then you'll all stop and come together as the group and take it in turns to each do your presentation, okay? And somebody must time it and you must all give each other feedback on that presentation, okay? And I'm gonna give you a good half hour to do this, so there's plenty of time to prep and to do the presentation and to give the feedback, okay? But I'll come round to make sure that you're more or less staying on time, okay? Any questions at this point? Yeah?
Can it be an event?
It can be an event, yeah. Okay, I'll come around so you can ask me. Okay, go.